Ranch Music Series tonight at the Capitol Bar here in Fort Worth. Brandon Steadman Band will kick things off a little after 7 o'clock. And then Parker McCollum, who joins us in studio here. Parker, you got a new album out. Probably Wrong Session 1 has been released. Probably Wrong Session 2 comes out here in a few weeks. And then what's next for that, after that?
Session 3 will come out, I think, the first week of November, maybe last week of October. And it'll, when that comes out, the whole record comes out as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have big music video and stuff for the next single and all that good stuff.
So what makes you decide to do it this way? Cause this is different than most people do.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's just kind of it's a different time and putting out music right now. There's so many different platforms that, you know, consumers, you know, receive their music on. And I really, really like to make records, and it just kind of seems, like records aren't, trendy anymore
or
thing to do, like full albums. Most people are just like recording singles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still wanted to make a record and allow, you know, the current wave of however people are receiving music to still be you know, present in this whole release. So it's just kind of like a happy medium between artist and consumer, you know, making a record and they get in smaller pieces like, you know, people seem to like nowadays.
You may have paved the path for some other artists, because I got to thinking about this when you were doing it. In this date and age of social media and, like, everybody wants instant gratification all the time now, you have got to keep your name out there. You can't do an album and then wait 5 or 6 years to do an album, because it's like, who's this guy?
Yeah, you got to stay relevant.
Yeah, so this is a really good way to do that and get it out there for a couple of months, and then let's do another one, and then we'll do a full album. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just, man, it was just kind of a shot in the dark, you know, of like, try something different. And so, you know, it's too much. It's a long time to wait. I won't lie. You know, it's, you know, you make a record and then you wait so long to put it out, and then you got to wait for the next part to come out. Now it's kind of a different game. But it was just shot in the dark. I don't know if I'll do it again. Unless
this really works out.
we'll just wait and see, you know, if 12 months from now, you know, we're putting out another one and we're not paying for it. Yeah, maybe we will do it.
That's a good idea. So recently, last time I saw you, you were doing your debut, headlining the big stage at Billy Bob's Texas.
Yes.
That was a ginormous crowd for the first time for some guy to play on the big stage.
It was a special night.
Guys and gals are singing along word for word. You didn't really have to play, to be quite honest. You just stood up there and smiled. I think everybody would have been happy.
Yeah,
it was so cool. How does that feel? You know, because there's got to be a lot of jitters in your stomach, you know, like, man, that, you know, you got to step it up when you're at Billy Bob's.
Absolutely.
You got to have a crowd show up. How did that feel that night?
You know, it was, I knew it would kind of be like this, but I was never nervous until probably 15 minutes before showtime. I was just kind of standing right back in the dark, you know, backstage, and we were all kind of taking a shot or whatever, getting ready to go, and that's when I was just like,
whoa.
You know, just kind of thinking like 14-year-old Parker, you know,
right,
being in his room at nighttime listening to guys live at Billy Bob's Records. And then I know we weren't doing our live, but just to be playing on that same stage, man, it was the real deal. Sum it up.
You were listening to those live albums, looking at yourself in the mirror, being a rock star, weren't you? Every year, 14 years old, that's what we did.
Yeah, for a long time. And even earlier than that, man, it was, I think it was Pat's first, it was either his, yeah, I think it was Pat's first live at Billy Bob's. Or Randy's, maybe. I don't remember correctly, but I don't know. I just grew up wanting to be those guys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So to get to go play on a stage that big that they played on, special night.
That's a really, really cool deal. That's for sure.
And we're going to be back. I can't tell you the date, but it's before the end of the year.
Well, good.
Yes, we'll be back.
So
I might have just gotten in trouble for saying that. I don't know.
Well, no, it's high hopes is what that is. We're going to be back.
Well, no, we
but just keep it at that. Don't get in trouble.
Okay, I won't confirm anything, but it's confirmed.
It's a radio trick, man.
Yes.
Well, that is cool. Congratulations.
Thank you. Obviously, you
did something well.
Yes. Yeah, that was the night, man. That was we worked really hard for that. So for it to turn out as well as it did, it was cool. So we're going to try to go do it again. We are doing it again.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So a question I've always wanted to ask you, never had the opportunity to, what first got you interested in doing this kind of Texas Americana music?
I had my older brother really was probably the very, very first influence. He was, he's 6 years older than I am. He was just sitting in his room playing guitar, writing songs, and he was, you know, 15 years old. So I was 9.
Mm-hmm.
And he downloaded Pat Green's George's Bar on Napster.
Oh, man, remember
CD
that.
On Napster in at the computer at the house. And dude, until we had to get another and burn it again. Sorry, Pat. we listened to it till it broke. And so that was kind of the very first, I had no idea who any Rodney Crowell or Guy or Towns or any of those guys mm-hmm. were then. I was so young. That was kind of the first, hey, I want to do that.
Like, this is cool. Mm-hmm. This is something totally different.
I wrote my first song shortly after that, I think a year later.
Really?
Yeah, 2 years later maybe.
Are you still proud of that song?
No. Yeah. My grandma asked me to play it every time I'm ever home. That's the only song she ever. I'm like,
oh, really?
I've written 1,000 songs since then. She doesn't care about any of them.
Like, I've had songs played all over the radio.
It's called West Texas Lovers. She wants me... Yeah, she has
a good title though, man.
Yeah, maybe I'll let someone else cut it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Again, Parker McCollum's playing the Ranch Music Series tonight at the Capitol Bar. We're going to take a break here. I'm going to play a song for you, but if you don't mind, we're going to off air to chat a little more, and then we're going to put it up on the website. That work for
cool,
you?
Cool, yeah,
we'll
for
talk
sure.
some more, a little more in depth with Parker McCollum, so be ready for that. But first, let's do this single, I Can't Breathe. Man. When you announced this thing was coming out, our ranch fans almost blew a gasket before we could get this thing on the air.
Malone thought I was like paying people to call in and ask, and she was like, "Did you do something or pay people?" I was like, "I can honestly say I did not."
I wish I had. Here's Parker. If you did Limestone Kid, what was that, about 2015 is when that thing came out? Mm-hmm. Do you remember?
Yeah,
so 2 years, basically, debut album, and now you're already considered by a lot to be one of the big names in this music scene. How do you handle that, having such quick success?
Man, I didn't know what I was really getting myself into. I thought I did for certain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I think we still got a long, long ways to go. I hope we do. I tell people all the time, I've been playing catch up for almost 2.5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Just went from sitting on my couch all day to doing this all the time. Not just a little bit. I mean, all the time, year round.
Like never seeing your couch.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. But yeah, just playing catch up, man. Like my manager the other day said, you have a lifetime to write your first record and a year to write your second one. So
mm-hmm.
I wrote this whole record, I think the majority of it in 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I was just like hammered out.
Where did
Woodshed solo and just in my room, my bedroom.
Just, is that the way you write the
That's
best?
Why you hear, when you'll hear me talk about white walls all the time. I have mm-hmm. A couple songs that mention white walls.
It's mm-hmm.
White bedroom walls all the time. That was actually going to be the name of the record.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the original name of the record was White Walls. And then I wrote Hell of a Year, and I was like, probably wrong. That's better.
I like that. That's I like better. That. So you talked about hearing that Pat Green album with your brother. Who
yes.
would you also consider, besides Pat, some of your Texas music influences?
As far as strictly Texas?
Mm-hmm.
That's a tricky question because the first song I ever learned to play and sing on guitar was Framed by Chris Knight.
Right.
Like you would consider
He's an honorary Texan.
Okay,
yeah.
Chris Knight was one of the very first guys, I guess, that made me go, I want to write songs, strictly just want to write songs. I didn't get into Towns and Guy and them until I was 17, 18 years old. I didn't even know who they were when I was a kid. It's my older brother that got me into them, but... I was really into James McMurtry and Robert Earl Keane and Chris Knight and Adam Carroll. Really big Slade Cleaves fan. Just honest songwriters, man. I was a big Billy Joe Schaefer fan
mm-hmm.
from a really young age.
Mm-hmm.
It was always dads that would find out that I was listening to those guys when I was 13. How do you know who those guys are? I was a big Todd Snyder fan.
Yeah.
I still am. It's not like I'm not fans of those guys anymore. I just, you get older and... get into new stuff.
Just keep moving. Yeah.
I'm a huge John Mayer fan.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to John Mayer until I was 20.
Oh, really?
21. Yeah.
How interesting.
So, and now he's he's one of my top.
Doing okay.
Yeah, him and Rodney Crowell are arguably my...
So if we could get a show lined up with you, Rodney Crowell, and John Mayer...
Yes.
That would work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I got a headline. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I would open at 8:00 in the morning for them to play at 8:00 at night. If you can
but like a
off.
Song swap kind of deal would
that
be.
Would, yeah.
That'd be intimidating, probably. Yeah. Now, is what that would be.
Now we're dreaming. Yeah, I wouldn't even want to do that. I would just if they were just nah, you're so bad, I would just be crushed.
Just
know?
Please go away, son.
Yeah. I'll just buy a ticket. I saw John Mayer the other night, front row, dead center.
Really?
Yeah, I bought the two very middle seats on the front row at AT&T Center in San Antonio and took my guitar player.
Wow.
So it was me and another guy front row at a John Mayer concert. I definitely should have taken a girl, but which most of the time I would have, but he's a big Mayer fan too, so I was like...
She might have been distracted.
Judge
us. That's the thing. Yeah.
Judge us.
The whole time going, who is this guy?
Yeah, exactly. It was cool though, man.
I bet that was fun. You scream like a girl when Mayer comes out?
I mean, I didn't really say a lot. I took a couple pics, kept my phone in my pocket most of the time. He made me the butt of a joke.
It's perfect.
He looked right at me and made a joke about me yawning during a song, which wasn't true. He was lying. He was making that up.
But it's a funny bit.
Which I think every frontman is guilty of. You know, fabricating a little stuff on stage, maybe to be funny.
You have to.
I was the only person out of 16,000 that knew he was lying about the yawning. So I think he's good there.
It's perfect. That's perfect. So what is the ultimate goal in the music industry for Parker McCollum? You ever thought about that?
Yeah, I'm not good at saying these things out loud either. Randy's always telling me to write down goals, and I just don't do it well. Because I'm just the kind of person, like, if I really want it to happen, I'll be like, nah, probably won't happen. So then when it does, I'm like, yeah. And then if
I'm super excited about it.
Ultimate goal, man, I don't know, play, interview on The Late Show, win a Grammy. I would probably say, if I won a Grammy, I'd probably just quit after that.
You know? How do you top
Mayer's
that?
Mayer's won 7. He's greedy.
That's the thing. He keeps winning them all.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I don't know how you could ask for any, just pinnacle success, really. You know, kind of shoot for the stars, and if you hit a stump, oh, well, you know, you tried.
Any other, like last year before Larry Joe's, you were really pushing Coe Wetzel real hard. And like you're one of those kind of guys. And that's the cool thing about this music scene is we all kind of promote each other amongst the artists. It's so neat. Is there anybody out there right now like that, up and coming?
Man, yeah, there's Cody West. I went back and I had listened to his record, or I guess it was an EP. It was the record he put out. Proving Grounds is Bauman.
It's new with the song Green on it. Yeah, it's totally blank.
My tour manager was playing that in the van, and so when I got home, I went and listened to some of the other songs, and I was like, you know, the first time around, which is typical, I was just kind of like, yeah, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then the other day, I was like, man, that's really good.
When you actually sit down and listen to the lyrics.
And I'm just weird about that with records, man. I don't even own Rodney Crowell's new record right now. Who else? Oh, Steve Earle put out a new record the other day, a couple months ago, and I have not even touched it. I don't know. I'm weird. So it just takes me a while to get into records. And I like what I like, and I don't want to listen to anything else at the time.
But you want to hear one song off that Steve Earle album, listen to Goodbye Michelangelo, a song he wrote about Guy after Guy passed. It's unbelievable.
He may have played that. I saw him open for Bingham the other night at
Whitewater.
I think he played that song because someone else, I heard someone talking about that title. But that's another guy growing up that I was into from a very early age.
Final question. If you could be any other artist in the world besides Parker McCollum, who would you be?
Ooh, dead or alive?
Either one.
Any artist
ever?
Yeah,
any artist ever.
Do I have to die the way that they died?
No. You can learn from their mistakes, I guess.
Steve Ray Vaughan.
Stevie Ray.
Yeah, Steve Ray Vaughan or Elvis, yeah.
They're both okay.
Yeah, I think they'll be big deals one day if they just keep hustling.
If they just keep hustling,
man.
Yeah,
if they keep hustling, I think
they need to busk more than 2 times a week out on the street, but other than that, they'll be all right.
Yeah, and my tour manager just got me a shirt of this guy today. I don't know if y'all have seen the James Brown interview high on CNN. I feel good.
That's
I say
the
that on stage.
Thing.
Everybody's like, why do you always yell you feel good on stage? I go watch James Brown high on CNN. It's great.
And then you'll understand. Yes. That's the best YouTube video ever made.
That is definitely up there. You're right. And then he got me a shirt today with James Brown on it. And so he would definitely be up there.
That's perfect. Parker McCollum, thank you so much for chatting with us, man.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate
Shane.
It. We'll see you tonight at the Ranch Music Series.
Yes, sir.